Life is a gift from God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
How many men have I known who do not get to watch a child's ball game, who don't have the opportunity to love their wife as they should, who don't take the opportunity to serve God as they should because their calendar is just too full? And when your calendar is too full for God, you'd be very wise to put aside your motorcycle and put aside whatever else it is that takes you away from the very main things that are the will of God for your life.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Planning Our Time.
Time is a gift from God, and the time on this earth is short. And sometimes we even ask the question, if you called some home on that day, Lord, and you left us here, then what is the purpose of all of this? There is a signpost that once stood in the shadow of the South Tower and now stands there at Ground Zero on two corners, indicating the two streets at the corner of Church and Liberty. And when I think about these signs, Liberty Street and Church Street, there at that 16-acre site, I'm reminded of the fact that God wants His Bible-based churches to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim liberty that can be found in the forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we understand that liberty in its proper perspective as Americans and as Christians, we understand that liberty is not a license to live for self. It is not that we're to ask what our country can do for us, but what we can do for our country. It is not as Christians that we get saved so that we can sin and sin and sin. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. The liberty that we celebrate this morning is the liberty that causes all of us to say, Lord, how can I serve you more effectively? Lord, what is your will for my life? How can I use the time that you've given me in this 24-hour day to please and honor you? You see, this morning as we study time, we believe that God is the creator of this world. He is the giver and the possessor of time. And you and I are the recipients of this gift called time. And we are to steward time according to His will, as we read just a moment ago. One day, I believe, I will stand before God and give an account for the time He gave me here on this planet, for the way I use my life here in this world. Now, when you think about time, all of us are aware that there are 24 hours in a given day. We're aware of the fact that there are 1,440 minutes in a given day, and there are 86,000 seconds that we are given every single day as a gift to us from God. God says, here you go, and I want you to realize life is my gift to you, and what you do with these 86,000 seconds is your gift to me. God says, I'm giving you today. What are you going to do with it? The psalmist said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, as Paul is writing this epistle called Ephesians, he's writing to the people of Ephesus. Some of them, of course, were still unsaved. They had not awakened spiritually to the Lord. Many of them, of course, to the book of Ephesians was written to those who were saved. They had accepted Christ as their Savior. This church at Ephesus was established on Paul's second missionary journey. It was an amazing ministry. The Bible says in Acts 20:20 that Paul went publicly and from house to house, preaching the gospel, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. As he writes this epistle to them, he's now in the city of Corinth, writing back to the church, trying to build them up, trying to remind them about the importance of time and life and how to live their lives. And this morning, we have the privilege to open up the Bible and to learn some of these God-given lessons for us in this day in which we live. And we learn specifically this morning lessons about time, the stuff that life is made of. Notice, if you would, this morning in our outline, the priority of time. The priority of time. We're going to see in the Bible this morning, there's one main issue that God wants every one of us to come face to face with during our time on this earth. And that one main issue is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ, God's Son? And so the priority of time is seen in verse 14, where we read, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, if you read the preceding verses, you'll see that God describes the world without Christ as being in darkness. He describes the world without Christ as being asleep spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The word quicken means to make alive. And so the Bible teaches that when someone gets saved, they are quickened, or they are from the dead made alive, spiritually speaking. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so spiritually, without Christ, we are not yet alive. And so the Bible verse says here, concerning the unsaved at Ephesus, "Awake, wake up, he says, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 55:6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." The poet Thoreau once said, "As if you could kill time without injuring eternity." And my friends, I say to you this morning that if you do not take time on this earth to consider Christ and to receive Christ, you will injure eternity. You will affect eternity. "For it is appointed unto man," the Bible says, "once to die. But after this, the judgment." And all of us want to stand before the Lord, covered in his grace, in his mercy, and in his righteousness. You see, the two greatest gifts that God gives us are, number one, Jesus Christ, and number two, time. There are two great gifts that all of us can receive. First of all, God says, "I gave you the gift of my Son." You know, we have wrapping paper and bows like this on Christmas morning, and we celebrate the greatest gift that God ever gave. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. And when Joseph and Mary looked at Jesus laying in that manger, and when they realized that he was deity wrapped up in humanity, God in the flesh, and when the angels rejoiced and the shepherds worshiped, it was all because of the fact that the greatest gift we would ever receive was given to us that first Christmas morning. God says, "I've given you my very best gift. I've given you my perfect Son." Then he says, "Not only have I given you my Son, but I've given you life and time on this earth to know my Son, and so that you might awaken to who he is. Come out of your stupefying sleep of secularism. Come out of your sleep of lust. Come out of your sleep of wasted living and receive the life that you can possess in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now on this day, there will be many secular services held in New York City and across this nation. And we are well aware of Mayor Bloomberg's decision to not allow any type of religious prayers to be made, any recognition of God to be made in various stadiums in New York City today. Mayor Bloomberg said that's the way it should be. And one commentator from the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission said of New York, "It is becoming the epicenter of secularism." Mr. Bloomberg is forgetting that we are not a secular society, that we are a nation under God. Now, may we remember today that while it is good that we never forget the fallen, it is not good that we forget the God above us. All of us are here today to say we will never forget the firefighters and the police officers. And may we never forget the sacrifices they made. But at the same time, may we never forget, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchapel.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chapel.
The message from the Word of God today to those who are sleeping in their secularism and those who are lulled to sleep in this idea that there is no God. The message is simple from Ephesians. Wake up and rise up and come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Oh, that we would see that today, the need to wake up. And notice he says there in verse 14, awake thou that sleepest. And secondly, he says, arise from the dead. So the priority that we see in the scripture is to awake and to arise. Now you can study this word arise. It's an interesting word in this context, and it means to repent. It means to change your direction. Instead of being given to the death that comes by sin, to arise to Christ is a repentance of the heart. Isaiah 60 and verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now, some of you are aware that high above Ground Zero for the past several years, there have been many cameras taking a time-lapsed photography, a program photography of the reconstruction of Ground Zero. And as the 16-acre work has progressed, the picture has developed of this amazingly beautiful site that is being built. And what a beautiful site indeed. Now, the purpose of these cameras has not been to chronicle the tragedy of 911. It has been to chronicle the transformation of 911. Their desire through these pictures has been to show what is coming up in a beautiful way out of what was once such a tragic sight. And I say to you this morning that God's desire is to transform lives that are spiritually dead, spiritually in the graveyard, and to bring us out of the tragedy of sin and into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 40 and verse 2, David said, He has brought me up out of a horrible pit. And even from this horrible pit called Ground Zero today, there are coming up beautiful structures and beautiful memorials and beautiful gardens have been constructed to remind us of the events of 9/11. So my friend, when someone wakes up from secularism, wakes up from a sinful lifestyle and rises to receive Christ as their Savior, the glorious light of the gospel makes the difference in their life and their life is changed. And I submit to you this morning as it refers to the subject of time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, and Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. And the priority of time on this earth is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There was a politician giving a speech after 9/11, and he said something that was politically correct, and we understand the context of it. But he said to thousands of people in his speech, all of us should take time to pray to his or her God and to speak to whatever God you want to speak to about this situation. Now think about that, if you would, for just a moment outside the context of political correctness. Think about what he said to the people that day. Just pray to a God, he said. Pick a God, in essence, and say your prayer. You know, a good politician would never tell his constituency to pay their taxes to the entity of their choosing. Governor Brown's not going to tell you tomorrow, pay your taxes to Rhode Island or Texas if you want to. They're not going to say in Lancaster, give your taxes to LA or San Diego if you want to. You see, it would be chaotic and destructive to just send your taxes to wherever. No politician's going to say, send your taxes to wherever. Nor should any politician say, send your prayers to just wherever. My friend, it is ridiculous to say, whatever God, wherever God. You see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ, Jesus. And America needs to wake up from this secularism, this idea that all the gods are about the same, and return to the God of our forefathers and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The priority of time on this earth is not to learn about as many religions as you can. It's not to learn about as many cultures as you can. It's not even to travel to as many different places as you can. The priority use of time on this planet is to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. But notice secondly today, not only do we need to awaken to the use of time, but secondly, there is this teaching concerning the preservation of time. The priority of time is to know Christ, but the preservation of time is something we all think about. How can I get more minutes out of my day? How can I manage time better? I just can't get it all done. Have you heard those things said lately? Do you live sometimes with the tyranny of the urgency and you're just not sure how you're going to get it all done? Well, notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now let's read those two verses together, shall we? Ready? Begin. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now how do we get more out of this time that God has given to us? How can we preserve and wisely use this time? Well, first of all, we are admonished to a cautious walk. Notice that, walk circumspectly. God says, now I've given you this time on earth. The priority of this time is that you wake up and receive my son. But if you have more time after your salvation, I want you to learn how to walk cautiously, how to walk circumspectly. Why? 1 Peter 5:8 says, the devil is like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. He wants to push you over the cliff of alcoholism. He wants to push you over the cliff of immorality. He wants to push you into the despairs of destruction or depression. You see, Satan is going to do everything he can to destroy your time on this earth so that you don't use it for God. So God says, I want you to walk circumspectly. Now, our family has a farm back in Colorado, and I love to visit back there when I can. And my grandmother always said, now, when you get back on the rims of the farm, Paul, don't you get too close to the edge. Walk carefully. Walk circumspectly with the right balance, she would say. Walk with balance. And I like to walk those rims like this one here, and it's exciting to look down in the canyon and maybe throw a rock or maybe see a deer or a lion or something walking down in the distance. But I've got to tell you what, we've got to walk cautiously around those cavernous areas. And I say to you this morning that as you go to work tomorrow, there will be challenges, there will be temptations. And God says, if you want to use your time wisely, you better walk circumspectly. Don't get as close to the edge as you possibly can. Notice what else he says there in verse 15. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He says, I want you to have a wise walk. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 1:7, is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I'm speaking to some men today who are not wise in the use of their time. They have various habits and hobbies and friendships, and your time is not being used in ways that have eternal significance, that make a great difference for your family or for the cause of Christ. And many times it is an unwise use of time that we read about in the scripture and see in people's lives today. J.C. Penney, one of the great Christian philanthropists of the last century, said, if a man's business requires so much of his time that he cannot attend the services of his church, then that man has more business than God intended him to have. And in this day and age, we need to be thankful for our jobs. We need to be thankful that we can work. But how many men have I known who send their children to church without them? How many men have I known who do not get to watch a child's ball game, who don't have the opportunity to love their wife as they should, who don't take the opportunity to serve God as they should because they want to work a little extra, make a little extra, because their calendar is just too full? And when your calendar is too full for God and God's house and your wife and your children, your calendar is just too full. You'd be very wise to put aside your motorcycle, put aside your little friends that you go out and drink Budweiser with, and put aside whatever else it is that takes you away from the very main things that are the will of God for your life. Listen, we need to have a wise walk in this day. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee, what's the next word say? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward them which are without, redeeming the time. Walking in wisdom means walking and doing that which matters most. And a wise Christian gets up and says, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What is that activity that pleases you today in my work and with the family and with my witness? And Lord, I want to walk with wisdom today so that I don't waste time. I want to preserve time to your glory. It's going to take a cautious walk if we're going to please the Lord in walking in wisdom. And then secondly, it is a calculated walk. This idea of just going through the motions has never been the will of God for our lives. Just waking up tomorrow, watching some TV and hanging out. One of the things I used to hate hearing the most when I had teenagers, I'd say, what are you going to do today? They'd say, oh, we're just hanging out. And I'd say, don't just hang out. Idleness is the devil's workshop. Plan your plan and work your plan, but get that plan from God. Lord, what do you want me to do today, right? A calculated walk. Look at verse 16. It says, redeeming the time. Redeeming. The word redeem speaks to regain a possession or to exchange for a payment. And it means to make the most out of something. God says, I want you to make the most out of the time I've given to you. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for time, and this is just a little interesting word study for me this morning, and I thought you might find it interesting as well. The first word is the word chronos, and it's the word that describes hours and minutes and seconds. It's the word that talks in the sense of a measurement of time. And the second word is the word that's found in this text, and it is the word kairos. And this particular word denotes a season or an epic or an allocation of time. The word is also found in Galatians 6:1, which I believe is in your notes. Galatians 6:1 says this, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. Notice the word there, opportunity. It's the word kairos. And so here's what God is teaching us. He says, I want you to redeem the time, redeem the opportunity, redeem the season that I've given you called life. In other words, every one of us are given time in this world, an opportunity in this world, and God wants us to use that for His honor and His glory. In your notes, I have listed this thought, having sovereignly bounded our lives with eternity. God knows both the beginning and the end of our time on earth. As believers, we can achieve our potential in his service only as we maximize the time that he has given to us. So he says, I want you to calculate this thing called time. I want you to redeem the time. Why, Lord? Why are you so serious about this challenge? Notice the next phrase. Because, he says, the days are evil. Now, folks, many Christians get saved and they know they're forgiven and they're on the way to heaven, but they waste their life in evil living. They waste their life in sinful living or even in just time wasting. The Bible says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, it was an evil day at Ephesus. Let me tell you what. This city that Alexander the Great first influenced and then became a great Roman city in the Roman Empire, they had many, many advancements for a first century city. They had water that ran into many of the homes. They had various types of advancements, even a fire department there in Ephesus. They had libraries, but they had paganism as well.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell has written a companion book to this series by the same title, Stewarding Life. You will enjoy this incredibly encouraging book. It is a wonderful resource as a follow-up study tool for today's series. You can find out more about this book when you visit strivingtogether.com. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.